The Electric Company's public information program brings you your Better Living Radio Theater in its salute to the American home, its family, and its way of life in this bright American future. The tubes in your radio, the power behind this station which brings you this program, the nightlight at your child's bedside, the giant motors that drive the machines to mold our steel and power your production lines, the current that pops your family toaster, foods, aircraft, railroads, automobiles, and ships. Electricity always at hand, day or night, with its economy for lower cost to you, with rising efficiency through its own research, with its growth to match the nation's needs at all times, the electric industry strives day and night to bring you better living. This is your narrator, Wendell Niles. Now your Better Living Radio Theater presents a story entitled Mrs. USA, which brings you an invitation to smile and to heave a big sigh of relief that you don't live in 1905. This is the ninth in a series of broadcasts at this time to show you how Americans in a free nation have worked to bring you better living today. In fact, the highest standard of living in the world. Later you will hear from today's guest, Mr. Chester H. Lang, Director of Public Relations, the General Electric Company. And now, today's story, Mrs. USA. May 14th, 1905, Miss Jane Owen, 2020 Slocum Street, Mainville, Illinois. Boss raised me to $25 a week. Will arrive for supper tomorrow night to ask a question. But please do not let your mother go to any trouble. Signed, Henry. And now for our story. Each year, we celebrate one day as Mother's Day. But to many an American mother, Mother's Day is every day when she remembers her own mother's home before the widespread use of electricity. No matter what the books tell you about the pies that Mother used to make, Mother had it tough. Let's go back with the sender of that telegram to 1905 and start Jane's mother off on her day.
Stephen, wake up.
What?
It's turned cold, Stephen. You'll have to get up and shake the furnace hard this morning.
Oh, let me sleep.
Stephen?
Oh, hey, my blankets.
Now, don't you dare put them back. I'll go down and shake up the kitchen fire right there.
Of course, human beings haven't changed so much since 1905. Even in these days of clock radios, electric blankets, and self-starting devices for your oil, gas, or coal furnace, it is hard to get up. But I think you'll agree it might have been a little harder to face the day in 1905, especially if you were Mother entering her kitchen.
Mother? Breakfast ready?
Just put the coal in the stove, John.
I'm hungry.
Have you shaved yet?
Shave?
Well, you're not going to work unless you shave. You're 17 now and a man of business.
Where's the hot water?
Well, I'm just pumping the cold water. It'll take time to heat it. John, will you please carry this kettle to the stove?
Yeah. That's heavy.
I know. I carry it 17 or 18 times a day.
I don't need all this water for shaving just a few whiskers.
Your father needs it for his shaving. Your sister Jane needs it for washing, and you'll have to wash, too, because I need another scuttle of coal.
I just filled it when I came home from work yesterday.
Well, it's a cold morning, and I have a good deal of cooking to do today, besides some washing.
What are you going to cook? Something special?
Your sister's having a very important young man for a guest at supper tonight.
Who?
Henry Parkhurst.
You said important.
He is important to Jane. Uh-oh, your father's shaking the furnace now. You better get the scuttle of coal.
The breakfasts of 1905 were sturdy ones. Our doctors of today still think better breakfasts a healthful diet. The mush has been on the back of the stove cooking all night. The griddle cakes take time to beat up by hand. The sausage sizzles slowly in the old iron skillet as the stove heats up. The coffee boils slowly. The bread and rolls are there too. Mother already has been hard at work for an hour and a half by the time the breakfast table is to be cleared.
Mother, I'm so worried about tonight.
Oh, now, Jane, everything will be all right.
Are you going to bake one of your pies?
Yes, dear. I thought I'd make half a dozen. It'll save me making two for the baked goods sale for tomorrow and two for Aunt Elsie's Sunday dinner.
Mother, can we sit in the parlor after supper?
Of course. I'll ask your brother to light the stove when he comes home from work.
Oh, be sure he doesn't leave any coal dust around.
Well, I'm going to sweep the whole house this morning and beat the parlor carpet.
What do you think I should wear?
Well, your organdy shirt waist or your pongee. The lace insertions and the medallions are quite nice.
Mother, could you wash the pongee and iron it?
Well, I believe I'll have time, dear.
Oh, it's very important tonight is, Mother. Will you come up while I'm dressing and be sure my switch is pinned on properly?
Yes, dear.
You're taking all this so lightly.
Not at all.
But I'm so old, Mother. 21. If he doesn't propose to me, I'll be an old maid.
Do you love him, Jane?
Oh, yes. Yes, I love him, Mother. Well, goodbye. I'll be late for work.
Goodbye, dear. Now, don't worry today.
I won't. Oh, and Mother, be sure the sheet music is off the organ in the parlor. The etiquette book says that sheet music on the organ shows that you don't know the songs and doesn't compliment the guests.
Now Mother begins her daily tasks alone, all the dishes washed and dried by hand, the hot water toted from the stove numerous times, then the beds to make, then back to the kitchen. As on many spring days, this one started cool and now it's warm. But the coal range is going full blast to heat the oven for baking. The kitchen is as hot as a steel mill as Mother hand beats the eggs and mixes dough for the pies. By the end of the noonday meal and its subsequent dishwashing, Mother has expended enough energy to equal a good 36 holes of golf today. And her afternoon, with its tending of the coal stove, its incidental ironing, more cleaning by a broom and carpet sweeper, and the start of the big meal for Jane Souter at 3:30 is equal to a fast 5 sets of tennis. By 6 o'clock...
Mother, I can't find my curling iron.
It's heating atop the mantel, dear.
Is my shirt waist ready?
On the foot of your bed.
Oh, Mother, suppose he comes before I'm ready.
Well, John can entertain him with a banjo solo. Or he can look at the Stereopticon.
But he's seen all the pictures we have for the Stereopticon.
Well, if Henry's going to marry into the family, he may as well get used to seeing them over and over, dear. It'll be quite a few years before your father can afford to buy a graphophone. You better hurry up and get dressed.
Mother, do you hear something dripping?
Oh, I've been so busy all day, I forgot to empty the pan under the icebox. Well, that was lovely, Jane, dear. Just beautiful. Don't you think so, Henry?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Owen, very beautiful. Will you play another, Jane? Do you have a cold, Mr. Owen?
Oh, it's not a cold, Henry. Father wants to read aloud to us.
Oh, I should like that, Mr. Owen.
Have you heard Rudyard Kipling's Gunga Din?
I believe so, John. Your father read it the last time I was here for the evening.
Wouldn't you like to hear it again?
It's not very romantic.
Well, who cares about what's romantic? Oh, I see what you mean.
I rather thought I'd read from this book of poems here.
Oh, Father, please do.
Yes, Mr. Owen, please.
Mr. Owen was quite an elocutionist in high school, Henry.
Well, it begins, like a foundling in slumber, the summer day lay on the crimsoning threshold of even. And I thought that the glow through the azure arched way was a glimpse of the coming of heaven. There together we sat by the beautiful stream. We had nothing to do but to love and to dream. In the days that have gone on... Oh, dumbfounded!
Your father, what's wrong?
This dad-blamed oil lamp is going out.
I forgot to fill it tonight.
Oh, John, how could you?
Now, my dears, I'll fetch another from the kitchen and your father can continue. Yes, dear, just finishing the dishes.
Oh, but Mother, it's 10 o'clock.
Well, Jane, did he propose?
Yes, Mother.
Oh. Did you accept him?
Well, of course, Mother. Oh, Mother, I'm so happy. He proposed even though the lights went out, even though John played 3 banjo solos, and even though I completely forgot my new switch and wore my second best.
Oh, he must love you for your own sake, dear. Oh, come here and let me kiss you.
I've never been so happy, Mother. He asked me that all-important question every man asks a woman.
Hester, can you heat a flat iron for my side of the bed? It's turned cold again and my feet are frozen.
Well, that's a fair sample of life in 1905. And I hope it makes my point that in view of those days without the blessings of electricity, every day is Mother's Day today. 44 million homes now have radios for news and home entertainment. 37 million homes have irons. 35 million have refrigerators. 32 million have clocks. And 30 million have washers, all run by electricity. In millions of American homes, the familiar wall or baseboard outlet runs toasters, vacuum cleaners, freezers, ranges, mixers, shavers, heating pads, and water heaters. The designers of these electrical marvels have given Mother a helping hand by eliminating the gingerbread designs, the notches and curves and waste spaces, which in themselves took hours to clean each week. As for cost, in 1905, Mother and Father paid a great deal more than they do today. I'll tell you what. For a few moments more, let's transplant the Owen family into the future, say 25 years from now.
Mother, what do we have for dinner tonight?
A beefsteak, I hope. Henry likes beefsteak, doesn't he, Jane?
He likes it rare.
Oh, I like it medium.
I know.
Now, you won't have to worry, children. I'll have the steak in the stove. All you have to do is set the controls, just as it says on the package.
Mother, you won't be here?
No, dear, I'm going to Chicago for the afternoon, but I'll be back by 8. If Henry gets hungry, just press the buttons on the stove. You can't go wrong.
The Owens of 1905 couldn't have even conceived of the automatic electric coffee maker, washers, and ovens of today. Better living for all is forever uppermost in the plans of the entire electrical industry today. But you know, breakfast is still the same. Now for today's guest of our Better Living Radio Theater, Mr. Chester H. Lang, Director of Public Relations for the General Electric Company.
Today's homemaker, Mrs. USA, is fast assuming the role of home manager. She virtually must have the combined genius of a budget expert, production manager, purchasing agent, dietitian, and marketing expert. And to carry out all these jobs and still have time for the day-to-day requirements of her family, our American home manager obviously must have considerable help around the house. In large measure, she has this help available in her array of modern electrical appliances. In fact, the electricity Mrs. USA uses for such household chores as dishwashing, clothes washing, ironing, and cleaning does the job of 6 servants. At prevailing wages, 6 servants would come pretty high, way too expensive for our homemaker. Electric power costs far less than it did 20 years ago. So you can readily see that electrical living means better living and has raised our standards to a higher plane than ever known before. Moreover, all the progress we have seen in recent years is just a beginning in this bright American future. Thank you, Mr. Niles.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. You have been listening to Mr. Chester H. Lang, Director of Public Relations, General Electric Company. Mr. Lang was today's guest of our Better Living Radio Theater, which has brought you Mrs. USA, the 9th in a series of broadcasts at this time, presented by this station and the Electric Company's Public Information Program. Now, this is Wendell Niles, your narrator, inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when your Better Living Radio Theater will present another program in this series. Till then, wishing you better living.